My trash number 12920, Richard Harland, Reel 4.
Richard Harland, Reel 4. Yes, could you tell me something about the nature of Molesworth Peace Camp? You know what it, you've explained about manning the caravan.
Yes. Well, there's more than one peace camp there. There's more than one peace camp at Molesworth. There was a, in 1983-84, when I first started going there, there was a caravan camp. Well, physically, it looked like what we would now think of as travellers. Then there was, at the other side of the base, there was a lane which we nicknamed Peace Lane, with a camp of vendors and that sort of people, and one or two mini buses and so on. And alongside that, there was the Quaker Peace Caravan, so called, and alongside that, there was the very close, there had been the chapel, the Peace Chapel, which was erected by the peace campers, and Peace Corner. A whole complex of peace things there. The ones I knew best, I didn't know the caravan people very much. I visited there several times. But the ones I knew much better were the Denver people and the Quaker caravan people. It was a way of life. It became a way of life. But and it was, to me, a strange way of life. It was something different from you. Young people, I found I was not I'm not good at establishing deep relationships with younger people, I'm sure, and so I found that difficult. But I did my best, and I drank endless cups of coffee over endless conversations in the vendors, and I was the clergyman, Anglican clergyman from Hunting, Peterborough, who was very supportive of that. He used to come and celebrate some Holy Communion in one of the venues with candles and so on. It was a very meaningful occasion. And then the caravan people, the main focus of our job was to, in the caravan, was to talk to the police guards, police, some LOD policemen. Some people were better at that than others. After 2 or 3 days, I found that really very difficult. I found it difficult to get beyond trivialities. Well, they were interested in me, and I'm sure they, from the biographical details which I gave them, I didn't hesitate to tell me anything they wanted to know, and I'm sure they put me down on the blacklist as one of the bad people. They knew exactly what my biography was. Twice a day, we held a vigil at Peace Corner, whether there was one just me there or whether there were a dozen or a score there. We held it, and we used to walk up and down the perimeter fence talking to people. As I say, after a few days, I found that very wearing, but I used to carry on for a fortnight at a time, two or three occasions anyway.
Molesworth, of course, is mixed, isn't it? There are men and women there.
That's right.
Yes. Do you have any particular thoughts of that? You know, were there any problems because of that?
Well, the thing came to an end, latterly, through allegations of rape. And I knew one or I think two of the men who were accused of rape. I wasn't familiar with the rape question. I think it was very largely a matter of how you define rape. I don't believe for a moment there was any physical force involved in compelling intercourse. But I can well believe that there was an emotional persuasion, over-persuasion. I believe that was what it amounted to. But it caused really the end of the Bender camp. There had been a religious meeting there at which I was present. It must have been 1984, perhaps, at which a cross was established by a Christian CNB. A cross was set up there, and that was a very deeply moving occasion. The cross was established at the far end of East Lane. And then when I wasn't there, but I heard all about it, there was a sort of invasion by Greenham women who I believe did use violence, physical violence, against some of the Benders. And on one occasion, in order to prevent what was thought to be likely to be worse confrontation, those there sawed the cross down, and they thought that was the only way of preventing something worse, because there are horrible things. There are others who could tell you much more about this. I could give you their names, but that was what I knew about it.
This cross would have been a crucifix, would it?
It was, yes. A wooden, beautifully made of mahogany, 10 feet high or more. A lovely, lovely construction.
You're going to Wandsworth, and you've mentioned how members of your peace group went to Greenham.
Yes.
Did you ever go to Greenham? I think you said you didn't go to Greenham.
That's right.
Yes. Is that because it was womanly?
That's right, yes.
Yes. What did you think of that? Did you mind, you know, the fact that you were a man and you couldn't go to that peace camp?
No, not in the least. No, I thought it seemed to me that women had a special thing to offer, and they were offering it, and that was wonderful. And I'm sure that in many ways men might have been led into physical confrontation much more than the women were. I think it could have been dangerous. I think it's a good thing.
Did you ever have Greenham women come to Glossington, you know, to your peace group? I wonder if that ever happened.
Yes, we invited two to one of our public meetings. This was one of the meetings in the town hall, which we advertised well. It was a good meeting. One of them, Susan Lamb from Wales, I remember. She was a remarkable person. And that was the only occasion on which we actually had a counter-demonstration at one of our meetings. The local young conservatives were there, and just a tiny group of three or four, I suppose. And they had invited a group from York of also young conservatives, led surprisingly by a barrister, a much older barrister who was very articulate. And in the meeting he spoke a lot, but Susan Lamb was superb in keeping her cool against all this, and as we felt wiping the floor, they erected for the first time ever, one of our meetings, the only time they erected the counter posters outside the town hall, quite an occasion. But there were two or three punk looking people who also turned up, and not sure, I think they came from Brantford. And we thought these were going to be troublemakers, but oh no, they were absolutely lovely. And after the meeting, we all repaired, all wanted to repair to our house here, and these spiky haired people among them, and they were lovely people.
So there was a lot of heckling, was there?
There was.
Susan Lyon. What sort of things were they saying?
Supportive of the need for nuclear weapons against the evil empire. Evil empire wasn't a phrase that had been coined by them, but the same idea was being mooted, was being put abroad at that time. But the Soviet Union was a completely alien to our way of life, and was a different ethos in which we had no share or understanding.
Do you think it is a problem, you know, getting over the peace message to people who haven't really any direct knowledge or who have studied the issues?
Oh yes, over the years it has been, yes, certainly. We found a lot of opposition in the village, in the neighbourhood over that. The people, very fairly close neighbours, were very antipathetic and wished we didn't want us to discuss this sort of, didn't want us to invite them to a meeting. On one occasion when we had people from the Soviet Union staying with us in the house, they said, "How do you know they're not spies?" And when we had used to hold vigils in the square, people whom we would meet and talk to in the village every day walked down the other side and pretended not to see us. They didn't want to discuss it or to be associated with us in any way. It was quite pretty painful. But we were pretty complacent with ourselves when we were right, and on one of these occasion, one of these vigils, I was out walking up and down the village with silent boards on, and felt no fear about that.
What is for peace, you know, this organisation, which I think Elmer had a lot to do with, is that right, when it was formed?
That's right.
Yes.
So, yes, when she, when it was first formed, she became aware of it. And we went to a meeting in Skipton at which there were speakers from, there were visiting speakers from a foreign delegation that was touring the country, including I think, people from the Soviet Union and certainly from America. I don't remember the details of who was there, but that was when Elmer saw that this was something she wanted to be involved in. That must have been about the same time, about 1981 or 2, I suppose. And so she was she at once put herself on the mailing list and became acquainted with as many people as she could who were involved and went to meetings. But it was not until 1984 that she became actually involved in making a visit on their behalf.
Where was that to?
That was to Bulgaria. Elmer has French and German, and there was what was called a peace summer school in Bulgaria, run by the Committee of the Movement of Bulgarian Women. And because she had French and German, she was nominated to attend because the official language of the conference was going to be English, French and German. And that was a very hairy adventure for her. She was, and I was afraid. At that time, people were still saying, "I hope they let you back again. I hope you come back." I hope, you know how people disappear when they go to Eastern Europe. And we had no contact ourselves at all with those parts. We hadn't traveled much at all. When the children were young, we didn't even travel much to Europe at all, except the German instrument. And so she went and found this really milestone in her life, changed her lifestyle. She had recently left teaching in the primary school in Dale because of a clash of personality with the head teacher. And she found a new purpose to her life in this, and remained in close contact with Bulgaria ever since, and in particular with some of the women there, and one in particular who stayed here with us several times.
Do you yourself, you know, approve of that organisation and understand the sort of focus on mothers and peace?
Oh yes, entirely. It's called Mothers for Peace, but in fact it's really for peace, you don't have for humanity to end. Yes, I'm very sure. It's clear that women have an immediate rapport with their children and their husbands and their lifestyles and their problems. There's something special that you needed that brings them together. And it has, and I've seen it happen over and over again. Of course, over the years, we've had lots and lots of people from East Central Europe staying here with us. One of the things that people said about the mothers' peace contacts at that time was, well, of course, you're only dealing with the people who are in the party or who are closely associated with the party. And I think that was true. They wouldn't have been allowed to be active in the movement in those days in those countries unless they were. They certainly wouldn't have been allowed to visit here unless they were. And I said, that's fine. What more could you expect if you get people washing up with you and sitting around the fire with you in the early hours talking, who are in the corridors of power in their own country? Isn't that wonderful? I'm absolutely sure that has had some part in the changes in Eastern Europe in 30 years. It must have done. Of course, no one can ever prove that either way.
But you think that, do you, that the end of the Cold War, that at least the movement, and particularly Mothers for Peace, had some influence?
Well, I wouldn't say particularly Mothers for Peace, but even Mothers for Peace in London, yes, I'm absolutely sure. I've no doubt at all now. And we've seen the people who we got to know in those days and got friendly with and showed something of our, what we like to think of as our peaceful way of life and the way we, sort of, the ethos of consensus decision making. When they're here, we introduce them to all our peace group members and they see the lovely network that we establish and the peaceful relationships we have. I'm absolutely sure that that has rubbed off and must have contributed towards the change in those parts.
We were talking earlier on, you know, about the sort of troubles since the end of the Cold War, and particularly Yugoslavia, you know. And, you know, you have touched yourself on the fact that the Cold War has ended and the relationship of the peace movement generally. But, you know, when you look at Europe today, and particularly Yugoslavia, and I suppose the rise of nationalism, the fact that Czechoslovakia is now in two countries, and the breakup of the Soviet Union, and the problems there, you know, do you feel that the world has sort of moved on towards peace in your lifetime? I mean, do you feel optimistic or pessimistic, Richard, as you look to the future?
I'm a congenital optimist, but I don't know, I can't answer your question. Things have changed, utterly. But let me say this first, that what I see as important is to concentrate on the good things, because I'm absolutely sure that it's the small good things which are creative and which are catalysts and which move on to bigger things. I'm absolutely sure that something which is however small, which is pure in itself, and good in itself, is worthwhile in itself. And you can't guarantee it. The success is not demanded of us. Success is not demanded, but faithfulness is, and faithfulness to what is right and what is good and what is pure. Remarkably often, is successful, but if it isn't successful, it doesn't matter. It's still right. But so many of the good things which have grown and flourished and become creative started in a tiny way. Something which was just right in itself.
So you are hopeful.
I'm hopeful, yes. Now, to answer the rest of your question, I think one of the big things which I'm perceiving have perceived now for some years is that the groups, especially cultural groups, ethnic groups, national groups, are the basis of the future. And if only one can find a way of accommodating those groups without their becoming nationalistic and competitive, then that will be the way forward we have to move. One other aspect of Mothers for Peace, which has pleased me enormously, has taken place through our peace group. We put enormous effort into getting people here to Britain from Central and Eastern Europe, and then I discovered that people were already here. Every autumn term, there were 24 mature students, teachers of English in universities and colleges of the Soviet Union, perfecting their English in the English language unit of each university. And so we conceived the idea of inviting each and every one of these into our homes in the group for a weekend during their spell here. And that was enormously rewarding. And we made some permanent friends. It was also educational, not only to ourselves and to members of the group, but also to the village. When we walked down the village and were introducing so-and-so is here from the Ukraine, or from Kiev, or from Moldavia, or from Moscow, or Estonia. At that time, this was really something quite extraordinary, because the people of the village were not used to this at all. And to see someone in the flesh from these parts was, I'm sure, educational to the village. And we always put reports in the Crave Herald, and it became quite well known that there were these people staying here. Then subsequently, we've developed that in various ways, but latterly, in the last couple of years, there have been diplomats from Central and Eastern Europe at Leeds University, funded by the Government Know-How Fund, as we understand it. The number has been much greater. The first year, there were 48 of them, and this past year, there were 63 of them. And we've managed to invite each and every one of those to a weekend in. We've had to extend far beyond the confines of our own group, and one of our group, Anna Craven, has managed in a wonderful way to find weekend homes for all these people in Dorfdale, and even over the hilltops in Dunstedale, and down to Skipton, and there in that area. Most of these people, we found, were very much on our wavelength. Some were not, some were rather natural and enjoying it. By and large, this again was a wonderful experience. These were young people who are going to be high flyers in their various foreign offices. They were all of them working in their respective foreign offices already, and they'll be ambassadors and so on of the future.
Well, Richard, thank you very much indeed for telling me about your experiences as a conscientious objector and about your peacemaking. It's been very interesting, and thank you.
Thank you.